Our subject this evening is getting out of one's own way. And this is the first tool that we can use to get out of our way, yeah, and activate the parasympathetic nervous system to calm us down. I'm talking about this from a yogic perspective and what yogic tools can we use. Sometimes, because yoga is an ancient practice, sometimes we don't understand how to apply this in the modern day. What does it mean to us in the modern day? And so I talk about snacking on yoga throughout the day. And what that means is when we get stressed, we stop breathing or we breathe very shallowly. So snacking on yoga means breathing consciously, realizing that we're stressed. What's happening with my breathing? I'm holding my breath. Let's breathe more deeply. And so this is your first tool to snack on, because we get in our own way when we're not breathing. And in a general yoga class with me, I'm always saying to students, and we're breathing. Because even in the yoga class, people start to hold their breath while they're doing their asana postures. So it seems like a basic thing to say, and we're breathing. But my hope is that my voice will be reiterating in their heads throughout the day, and we're breathing. So the chakras are energy centers that correlate to nerve plexi in the body, correlate to various organs and to the endocrine system. And so understanding the basic drive from these energy centers will help us to understand how we get in our own way and how to free us up from that. So first of all, you know, yoga is about awareness, isn't it? It's about being aware of ourselves. Being aware, as I said before, I'm not breathing. It helps to breathe. Being aware that I'm frustrated. It might sound basic, but some people are not aware that they're frustrated and they speak out their frustrations without awareness. So yoga is about being aware. Yes, I'm speaking out my frustrations because I am frustrated. And then we need to look at what is the frustration. What is frustration's a blockage. What is the blockage? What is it that I want that I'm not getting? How do I get that in a healthy, positive way? So if we look at what our drives are from our chakra system, then this will assist us in analysing what it is we're not getting and what we want. So I'm keeping this very, I don't want to use the word basic, I suppose the word is simple. I'm keeping it simple so it's clear and understandable and applicable in your life, so that we can snack on our yoga. You know, very rarely these days do people get more than half an hour to do yoga practice at home. And so 10 minutes is doable. A 10-minute practice is doable, and snacking throughout the day. So what I'm going to talk about first is the energy system, starting at the base. At the base of the spine, at the coccyx, the energy centre there is about the drive within that is for you to feel safe and secure. So what does safety and security mean to you? It might mean something different to me. Safety and security to you might mean that you have to lock all the doors of your house because of wherever you're living. Safety and security might mean that you have a roof over your head. For some people, their need is to have a bigger house. For some people, their need is a smaller house. but still you need to feel safe and secure whether you've bought your house or you're renting. You need to live somewhere that you feel safe and secure. And if you don't, what do you do? So if you've left your wallet, purse and mobile phone, you've left it in the car and you forgot to lock the car, and you've already walked 15 minutes away, got in a lift and you're at the top of the lift, how do you feel? What happens? Do you come out in a hot sweat? You probably stop breathing. So then your behaviour, the lift's crowded with people and you suddenly remember this. Some people might shout out. Some people might say, oh, stop the lift, stop the lift. Do you see, this behaviour is an expression of that. Let me out, I've got to get out. And you run. You might push people out of the way. The first time I came to Vancouver, I was going to a few other places. I came through Los Angeles Airport. Never again. They were renovating. I had 3 hours to get my plane. I stood in line at customs for 2 hours. And then when I got out, I had to find where the next gate was, and I followed the signs, and the signs stopped. Okay, so this has taken me quite a bit of time. So I come back and ask someone and they tell me where to go, and when I get there my plane's boarding, they're about to close the gates. Hot sweat, perspiration, heart palpitations. So what did I do? I didn't push past people, but I explained, excuse me, I need to get on my plane, it's boarding, the gates are about to shut. People were very obliging, you know, they stepped aside. But imagine if I'd been angry and pushing people and then they would have got angry. You know, we've got mirror neurons in the brain. We mirror each other. Did you know that? So when you're getting angry, the other people are getting angry. But I was breathing. My first tool, I was breathing. I spoke politely. People were very nice back. And I got on the plane. Just scraped in. So being aware of your situation, being aware of your environment, being aware of your breathing, being aware of what it is you can do to get back to your car, to lock it, or to get your wallet and mobile phone, your purse, and lock it. Now, as you're racing towards your purse and wallet, what are you thinking? What happens if it's stolen? What happens if they've already gone and used my credit card or debit card, whatever you've got? So you're thinking about, oh, where's the telephone number to ring up and cancel it? All these things are racing through your head, isn't it? So how to do this without losing your center? Breathe. This is your first tool. Safety and security, breathe. Yeah. Because what is the worst that can happen? Someone uses your credit card, but because it wasn't you, you can get your money back. You know that. You inform the bank, you'll get your money back. So that's okay. They might steal your phone and make phone calls. I don't know what the telephone companies are like here, whether you can get your money back in that way. So you think about, what is the worst that can happen? Can I cope with this? Well, I'm not losing my life, so yes, I can cope with it. Do you see? You need to be able to weigh up the situation and see where your values lie. We do this all the time in life, but we're not aware and conscious of it. The bottom line is that we have pictures in our mind of what the scenario is. We either like the pictures or we don't like the pictures. We weigh up the situations. With yoga, we do this consciously. So this is your next tool, realizing that you're weighing up how much you value these pictures in your mind. I'm going to go through each chakra and just talk very briefly about this, but at the same time, you'll be weighing up in your mind what this means to you. So at the energy center, which is at the base of the spine, it's actually a collective consciousness. It's about the group. It's about the family, the group, the society. You understand? So you're not thinking individually at one level. It's safety and security of you individually, but it's also safety and security of your group. You'll be affected in that way. So if you belong to a particular political group or a particular yoga group or a particular religious group, it's also about the safety and security of your group. You understand? So it will affect you collectively as well as individually. But when you come to the next energy center, this is very much about your individual personal experience. And the drive here is to fulfill the need for having fun, for playing, and for learning through that process. Our best learning comes when we enjoy. Take your mind back to school when you had a subject that you weren't really interested in, but the teacher was lots of fun. Did you enjoy that subject? Maybe not so much, but because the teacher was fun, you wanted to go. Or there might have been a subject that you really liked, but the teacher was boring. And so, you really didn't want to go to that class. So that's what I mean about learning. Learning needs to be fun. And then we actually retain the information better. And if there isn't sufficient fun in our life, what are the expressions? We get bored, we get depressed, we get sad, we get all sorts of things. But we don't get fun. So being conscious that there's not enough fun in life, I need to have more fun, I need to enjoy. When you enjoy, then the energy can move freely. When you're not enjoying, energy stagnates. The nervous impulses don't flow freely. So this energy center, this driving force from this energy center needs to express itself in a healthy way. Look at kids. They have fun, little kids, don't they? They think it's great. Everything's great. You go into the shopping center with your kids. It's not great for you, but the kids are having great fun. So when my youngest son, he was full of beans, really. You know, some children are really full of beans. It was a very small shopping centre and he was naughty as. So I let him run away. I knew where he was and he'd do something naughty. And I'd say, oh, whose naughty child is that? And he's got coffee-coloured skin, so no one knew it was my son. So I decided to have fun too. it was a very small shopping centre, you know, nothing untoward would happen to him. So having fun, and as adults we get so serious. So how are we going to have fun in our life? How are we going to express that so we don't get grumpy? When I lived in the ashram in India, there was an elderly Swami there from Latvia. And when we had to leave India, she came and lived with us. And in India, she was very stern and very grumpy. And then when she came and lived with us, she was still very stern and very grumpy. And she said, you know, as you get older, you do not get nicer. And I thought about this because my grandparents, they still had fun in life and they were still happy. And I think it was just that she'd lost the fun in life. Excuse me. She'd forgotten how to have fun. She'd forgotten what to do to have fun. And I think you don't need to get more grumpy or less nice as you mature if you take care of that need. And sensible fun for you. I mean, look, I saw a program recently where I'll say she was an elderly lady because she was probably in her 80s. She'd never done skydiving and she decided, well, 80, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. I'm going to have some fun. And she did skydiving. And when my grandmother was, she must have been about 88 and my grandfather passed away and my mum said, well, don't take this the wrong way, but you're next. What do you want to do? She said, I've never ridden a motorbike. I want to get on a motorbike. So we hired a Harley Davidson, a driver as well. She had on her hat and a leather coat and off she went, hanging on behind the driver. And she continued to live to 102 because, you know, she had good genes. And so we don't know when we're going to go. Nobody knows when we're going to go. If we don't take care of that fun need and that desire and compelling force to enjoy and we suppress it and we hold it back, then, yeah, we become grumpy, you know. If we don't do the things that enable us to laugh and have joy, then our behaviours are rude and you know how we speak. Yeah. So this is a very important need and you'll go away tonight thinking, are you having enough fun? And what is it that you need to do? Sometimes I go to the theatre now because I like to see plays or musicals, actually, I like. So that's what I do to have fun sometimes, and many other things. I like walking in nature or watching a funny movie. So we all have different ways of expressing that fun. And this is in the Swadhisthana chakra. Some people call this chakra the sex chakra. Yeah, you can have fun that way too. But it's more than that. It's more about actually enjoying and enjoying the sensual world and seeing it for what it is. It's enjoyment. It's the sensual world. It's enjoyment without being self-indulgent. Sometimes people on the spiritual path think, oh, I have to be serious and I have to do lots of meditation. And they forget to have fun and joy in the sensual world. So spirituality is the essence of the material world. It's not separate. If you can enjoy the material world, you will find your spirituality. I'm not, as I said before, talking about being self-indulgent or being greedy or any of those aspects. Just pure enjoyment, seeing the beauty in the physical world. Yeah. Moving on to Manipur. This is about control and power. And this is one of the most important points because how do we get out of our own way when we don't understand about being self-controlling and we either abdicate our responsibilities for life or we try to control other people in all sorts of ways, by saying things in particular ways, by being emotionally controlling or even you know, physically controlling, like with children. Children do naughty things, so parents, I don't know these days as much, but you know, parents would give a whack, stronger or not so strong. And we don't want to be whacked. Why do we think kids want to be whacked? Kids are very intelligent. We can talk, we can explain, we can ask questions, we can negotiate. So say, for instance, you take your child through the supermarket where all the lollies are. You know what's going to happen. So you try to organise yourself that you don't have your child with you. But sometimes you can't help it. So you try to work out how you're going to go through an aisle that doesn't have those lollies. Do you have those lolly-free aisles? Yeah, so you try to work out something. But whacking the kid is not going to work. They just have a tantrum. Power and control. Yoga is all about being self-controlling. And yet, we still try to control other people. Emotional blackmail. It usually works, doesn't it? But it's not healthy. So I'm actually going to focus quite a bit on this Manipur area, because when we can understand about how we can be self-controlling, how we can still have fun, feel safe and secure, how we can be self-controlling and have good relationships with other people and feel that sense of belonging and be expressing creatively and be self-autonomous and have our freedom and allow other people to have their freedom. It all comes from the Manipur chakra. So we do namaste, and that brings the right left brain hemispheres together. You know, in your brain you've got all the areas of your body up the top here called homunculus. Have you seen homunculus? It's when you see homunculus in the brain, it's a picture of a person with big lips and big hands, because there's a lot of nerve endings in the hands and the lips. So what is on the left side of your body is on the right side of the brain, and vice versa. When you bring your hands, your palms together, you're bringing your brain hemispheres together. You're centering yourself. Yeah. Because in our life, the stresses of life pull us out of ourselves. And when we come together in yoga, we do this hand mudra. It's called a gesture, a mudra, and it brings us into our center. You feel it, don't you? Yeah. So coming into your center, just above the Manipur chakra, it's yellow in color. I had a dream when I was in India, and I took my intestines out and washed them. And they were sort of lacy, like this, and they were yellow. And in the morning I said to my friend, I had this funny dream where I took my intestines out and washed them and they were yellow. I described what it looked like. She was a nurse, and she said, oh yes, that's what they look like. But I did it at the energetic level. That's much safer. So yes, Manipur at an energetic level is the colour of yellow, golden yellow. This is probably a bit more lemony yellow. Yeah. So it's the core, the centre of your being. So this is a symbolic picture of that energy centre. And you have the picture here of a ram. The ram is symbolic of activity, of being dynamic, strong, and you see there is an inverted red triangle. The inverted red triangle also is symbolic of energy. It's actually symbolic of fire and the fire element. So your digestive system gives you the fire to fire up your metabolism, to activate your body, to activate your mind as well. You know how you feel when you haven't eaten. Some people get grumpy. Some people's minds get agitated. So the energy levels go down. You know, when you're hyperglycemic, you might even get the shivers. You eat some food, you fire up your metabolism, and all those symptoms fade away. So the inverted red triangle is the same on your fire extinguishers, isn't it? It is in Australia. It's quite amazing. It's in the psyche. It's at a subconscious level, that symbol of fire. And so this is the fire in the belly. We talk about having fire in the belly. Someone's fired up. Yeah. So using that fire to control yourself. And I keep coming back to the breath. Am I breathing? It's too shallow. Deepen the breath. Then you become self-controlling, maybe for a few seconds, because your default pattern is to emotionally blackmail other people, maybe. But at least for that moment, you have some self-control. And we say that this area of the body also is the seat of our emotions. You know when you get butterflies in your stomach, when you're nervous about something? Yeah. There's emotions in many areas of the body. We express many different emotions. These emotions from the abdominal area, the visceral area, can be very explosive. Have you ever experienced that? Or have you ever been on the other end of someone expressing that? Yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? But why this happens is because one of the needs are not being met. One of the pictures in somebody's mind is not what they're seeing in the external world. You get stuck in a traffic jam. The picture in your mind is of quickly and easily getting to where you want to go. But you're looking out into the world and seeing a different picture. So there's frustration signals. And everybody responds to this differently. I put on the radio. Does anyone put the radio on? I put some music on. So my default position is to sing. Yeah. And when you sing, you're using your abdomen too, aren't you? Yeah. So it's actually connecting many areas of the body. This picture is a mandala. You know mandala? It's a pictorial form expressing a more subtle aspect of your body and mind. And when I say subtle, like energetic, something that we can't see, we might be able to feel. You can feel your body's energy if you protrude the palms of your hands out, bring them close to your cheeks, but not touching the cheeks, really protrude the palms out like that. So you're not actually physically touching your cheek, but can you feel that heat? Now you can't see it, but you can feel it. This is energy. This is the body's physical energy. You can feel it. And if you have subtle perception, you could see it too. Some people see auras. And if you have a plain backdrop like this wall here and that wall there, it's easier to see. Maybe you've seen the glow around your own head when you're in the bathroom and the bathroom wall's just plain behind you. You might be brushing your teeth or brushing your hair or if you wear lipstick, putting your lipstick on, and you see this aura. Have you ever seen that around the top of your head? And you might be thinking, oh, it's the fluorescent light. No, you're actually seeing what I'm talking about, that heat. And so the mandala is a pictorial form expressing or giving us a vision of these subtler aspects of our bodies and our minds. So we may not understand or know what the symbology is here. I'm just explaining this to you. We can use mandalas for meditation. So say if you had an issue with control, you could use the image of the Manipura chakra in your meditations to assist you in calming down, quietening, or coming to terms with how you express yourself from this area. Yeah, you don't even need to know what the symbology is. The deeper layers of your mind does understand. So it has an impact on you. So this is another pictorial form of the Manipur chakra. We describe these energy centers as lotus flowers and having a specific number of petals. When we don't get our own way in life, when we are unable to express our personal power effectively, these are the common default positions, go-to behaviors. Spiritual ignorance is when the Manipur chakra is not sufficiently active. And I'm not talking about religion here. Religion is one thing and spirituality is another thing. So a religion may give you spirituality or it might give you dogma. I'm not going to go into that. Spirituality means understanding your divine essence and understanding divinity here on the earth plane. And when you can't see that, we call that spiritual ignorance. When you don't want to see it, when you say, oh, that's baloney, spiritual ignorance. And then you're going to go into all these patterns of controlling other people. It just happens. Delusion. Well, I suppose we're all deluded at some time of our life, maybe most of our life. Fear is in all the chakras. So many different fears. Fear of losing your own power. Fear that you won't be able to control the other person. What happens when you can't control the other person, when they don't do what you tell them to do? Yeah, I told you to do that. Why didn't you do it? And then we say, you made me feel. The instant reaction is, yes, we think the other person made us feel something because we don't realize that we're choosing to hang on to that emotion. So other people can control us when we believe that they've made us feel something. And that's the delusion. That's also the delusion. What else can we feel? We don't know because we've bought into the fact that that person made me feel this or the situation made me feel. When I travel in India and the gutters and drains there are absolutely disgusting. Has anyone been in a country where there are those massive gutters full of all the smelliest things you can imagine? And it makes me feel disgusted. Well, I'm choosing to hang on to that experience. And I acknowledge that. I'm choosing to hang on to that. So yoga is about transforming that thought that an external situation made me something. Another person's way of thinking made me feel something. Because I'm not strong and grounded in my own experience. And because I'm choosing to let that person's thoughts and emotions overtake me. So yoga is about being strong in yourself. It's not about being selfish. It's about containing your energies. And you can only do that if you've got a strong Manipura chakra. If it's too strong, then the opposite happens where you try to control other people to find your happiness. Yeah. So then we do foolish things because we're not in control of ourselves. We've all done foolish things in our lives. We can all remember foolish things. Some things you wouldn't even tell somebody else. So you know what I'm talking about. And then we feel shame about it. So how do we curb these behaviours before we do them? It's about being aware. How do we gain that awareness? One of the best ways is yoga nidra. So one of the main purposes of practicing yoga nidra is to enable you to step back from yourself. We get involved with our egos and we believe the stories that the ego tells us. We identify with it. We identify due to our conditioning. Our parents tell us certain things, we believe it. Our society tells us certain things, we believe it. And the ego identifies with it. In yoga nidra, you just step back from yourself and you watch. You look, you see. If we're going to get out of our own way, we need to be able to see ourselves and accept ourselves. That is so hard. We see the things, when we do see the things about ourselves we don't like, we don't want to see it. We feel shame or we feel foolish or we feel disgusted. But unless we can accept and just say, yes, I have done this, I've been like this, I've thought this, unless we can be honest with ourselves, we're never going to get out of our way. The first step is acceptance, to see it and to accept it. That is so hard. Because we all want to be the best person we can. And when we're not, we don't want to look at it. If we can't forgive ourselves, no one else is going to. Yeah. So getting out of your own way, see what you're like and make changes to that slowly, gradually, when you can. Can't always do it immediately. So what are the different behaviours going to be? It depends on what need is not being met. I'll give you an example. In Australia, there was a particular yoga organisation connected to a mother organisation, and they wanted to separate. But instead of saying, look, we want to be independent and go our own way, they made up all sorts of excuses and blaming for this thing and that thing and created a big whole story and scenario. But all they wanted was to be independent. And I'm thinking, why don't they just say that honestly? Why do they have to make up all these other stories? Why do they need to do this blame game to justify why they need to be independent? We all do that. Every one of us does it. We move through. You see this triangle in the Manipura chakra? It represents the fire element, but it also represents three fundamental ways of expressing ourselves. Every human being does it. One behaviour is that of blaming. I was just talking about blaming. Blaming other people, blaming situations, blaming yourself. Or it could be criticising, it could be persecuting. It's all the same behaviour. And if we're not busy doing that, then we're busy rescuing other people. I can fix that. I know what's good for you. I can rescue you. Then if we're not doing that, we're the victim. We're the victim of the situation. Because that person did that to me, I'm the victim. We go from one position to the other. These are the three positions. And we're not in our own control when we do this. We are actually trying to control other people by doing this. These are the negative patterns and behaviours, and it comes from not being in control of yourself. It comes from the money pool. And now you're aware of these three behaviours, you're going to see it everywhere. You know, you'll just see it everywhere. You'll see it in your family. People blaming, people rescuing you. Parents are really good at rescuing, aren't we? Yeah. And so if you're doing these three behaviours, you're not getting out of your own way. The only way to get out of this triangle of behaviours is to step out into this circle and make different choices. So instead of, for example, instead of persecuting or blaming, lead. Lead in a healthy way, not being a bully. Be the leader. Or facilitate. Facilitate a situation, in a situation. And instead of being the victim, you can follow. But be in your own power. And you can collaborate. So this is how you step out. And there are other behaviours you can do too. But these are just sort of labelling some main behaviours where you're choosing not to do any of those negative behaviours, blame, criticise or be the victim. Make different choices. If you think about it, you're in a situation and you think, what else can I do? I'm feeling bad about whatever. What else can I do? Think about what the other choices are. They may not be easy choices. They might be challenging to actually step into. It needs a bit of creativity. It needs reflection. So stepping back from a situation, if you need to make an immediate decision, if you're under pressure of time, you can't do it. If you can give yourself time and say, I'll tell you later. So someone might want you to go somewhere with them and you don't want to go. You know that feeling in your gut? It's like, I want to say no, but I don't want to offend them. Then you've got to think about how you're going to not go because you don't want to go. Without lying, you know, to say, I need to think about it, or I need to look in my diary, or I love you dearly, but I'm sorry, I can't do this. Have your go-to answer in those situations where you don't want to do something. Because you feel that in your gut. You know, sometimes you might get cornered. Your friend's talking to you and talking to you and talking to you and you're thinking, oh, I've got to be here, I've got to go. I don't want to offend them. My go-to is, I love you dearly, but I've got to go. Yeah. So think about what your go-to answer or even question is going to be. I've got a 12-year-old son who's doing his last year of school and his school captain. He's doing the International Baccalaureate, so it's very intense. And he's going to bed really late and can't get up in the morning. You know that one? And I just ask him, how's it working for you? He said, it's not. I said, so what are you going to do about it? He said, I have to go to bed early. Okay. He knows what to do. I don't, you know, bully him and say, you have to do this, you have to do that. I ask him the questions. He gives the answers. He knows what to do. I give him his space. I give him his freedom. It's his life. I give him guidance. I ask him to self-evaluate. So this is what we need to do for ourselves, self-evaluate and allow other people to self-evaluate. It's how we get out of our own way, because we think we know what the other person needs, so we tell them. We think we know what we need, so we tell ourselves. But if we just start to ask ourselves, is this working? Yes or no? What else can I do? This is self-evaluating. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what you think. What is important is that you're being honest with yourself. And if you can sit with that without being that emotion, understand that it is a phase. Understand that it is an energy. Mind is an energy. I don't know if you've ever thought about mind as an energy, but it is. It changes like the seasons. And what happens to us is that we believe we are whatever the emotion is. If we can step back from that and just see it is the mind doing this. It's not the inner core of your being. It's a default position that we've learnt. It's a default position means it's a behaviour that has worked for us, and so we just keep doing it. But it's not necessarily healthy. So when we're honest and we see that and start questioning, what else can I do? How else would I like to be? I'd like to be a more fun person, a more happy person. Then what do I need to do to be that? These are only questions you can ask and answer. It's not up to anybody else to say. Because this life is about you. I know we have to live in families and societies and we have to get along, but nonetheless, it is about you. It's not what other people want or expect of you. It's what sits right with you, and acknowledging that and speaking up about that in a kind way. Yeah. So I planned to do a little bit more singing, because as I said before, this is one way of getting out of ourselves. Yeah. Singing and dancing. Dancing's pretty good too. And there's also a chant. If you like chanting more than singing, when you chant mantras, they have a specific direction in which they take us to. And so there's a particular chant. It's the Durga mantra. So the word Durga means difficulty, and Durga means without difficulty. Something is difficult because we see it as being difficult. It's all perception. And I remember a few years ago there was something falling off the windowsill, and I went to grab it. And so my finger hit the wall, and because I'm a little bit hypermobile, it bent back and I didn't break my finger. So there was a crack. If you've ever cracked or broken something, you know how painful it is. I kept redirecting the information, because it was so painful, to the source. The source was actually in the brain. So I just kept saying to myself, pain in the brain, pain in the brain. And I was trying to source it in the brain. which distracted me from the finger. And I went and got some arnica. You know arnica? Rubbed arnica on. And it gradually eased back. And, of course, I went to the doctor and got a splint and all that. But pain in the brain, I was distracting myself. I was witnessing what was happening. I was very present. But I wasn't allowing my mind to become the pain. Do you understand what I mean by that? So like when we get angry or frustrated or whatever that experience is, we become that emotion. And it grips us. It overwhelms us. So distracting ourselves from whatever situation has happened that has triggered that, distracting ourselves in some way. Mantra is very useful. Breathing is very useful. You might just think one mantra, we're going to sing 32. You might just think one mantra. It might be in English. It might be a word that resonates with you. It might be your favourite pet, and you think of your favourite pet to distract yourself. When you distract yourself, you change the neuronal patterning. If you have a negative thought patterning, you can change it simply by superimposing a happy, joyous thought on top of it. It sounds simple and basic, but it works. The minute your mind starts going to the negative experience, immediately turn it to the other default position, which is your happy thought that you've got ready, your happy picture in your mind. It could be your favourite plant or your favourite tree. I fell in love with the juniper tree here, and I haven't seen it since my first visit. I know it is a juniper tree. So this would be a really good go-to picture for me. I would replace whatever the negative thought was with a tree that I love. I tend to love trees. So these are simple tools, but they're very effective. The Durga Mantra. I don't know exactly where, what number we've gone past. Yeah, should have numbered the slides. So this is chanted in three notes. We do it three times. We go through the 32 names three times. And these are all very varying different aspects of way... of ways we can change our mind or tune into more positive aspects. You don't even need to know the meanings. I do have meanings, but you don't need to know them. You can research that if you like. So I'm going to sit down here. Some of you will know the Durga chant, and you can just start singing with me. We'll do the whole thing three times. And when we've done it three times, we finish with Om Shanti. Overcoming difficulties.